We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4 today. If you want to turn to that, I'm not going to read that. I typically start off our time with a reading from the text, but I want to reserve the reading for a little bit later. We have been in the letter of 1 Peter, one of the, we call them general epistles. The thought is it's called a general epistle because it speaks to a wider audience, not necessarily a specific church. However, what we have learned and gleaned from this letter is that this letter was certainly written to a specific group of Jesus followers, Northern Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. That region was under a severe, intense persecution. Christians were being killed and slaughtered and murdered. And we're reading this letter, 1 Peter. We're using his other name, often referred to as Simon or Simon Peter. So Simon Says, and we're taking our cue from the old kids game, Simon Says, do this, do that. And we've been exploring what this letter has to offer to us in the 21st century. And I pray that you found some relevance to your daily lives. We just sing a song called Christ Above Me, Christ Behind Me, Christ Within Me, Before Me. And that is certainly a sentiment. That song wasn't written until, you know, a few years ago, but it's certainly a sentiment that the writer of this text was trying to convey to the original readers. That Christ had to be in the midst of who they were, their existence. They were Jesus followers. They were Christians. They were disciples of Christ. And so Christ had to be their story, had to be their life. A wonderful reflection by Clayton earlier about growing into that relationship with Christ. And so even though there are some specific instructions that Simon Peter is writing, behind all of these instructions is that encouragement to be Christ, to have Christ, to be alive, to be in a relationship with Christ. 1 Peter is a letter written to a group of Jesus followers, again, that was undergoing a season of extreme persecution, and we've been exploring this letter, highlighting some of the extreme circumstances that were present when the letter was written. Simon Peter wrote to encourage these disciples to stay faithful to God amidst the trials, tribulations, persecution that they were experiencing. And so already we've explored, Simon says, be hopeful. That is to live in the hope of the resurrection. He told them to be holy, to live in the holiness of God, to be a people who were consecrated, separated from the world. He told them to be special. He says, you are a kingdom of a priest, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, God's special prized possession, a peculiar people. He told them to be special. Simon didn't promise that their suffering would dissipate or disappear. He instead told them to be Jesus. He says, in your sufferings, use Jesus as your example, who when he was treated badly, didn't retaliate and treat others badly. So be Jesus and act in a way that brings honor to God. And in addition to that, he even said, be honorable. That's what we talked about last week, that we are to bring honor to God. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone, trust in God, fear God, and then it says, honor the emperor. And we talked about what it means to honor everyone, including the difficult task of honoring those who are in positions of authority, you know, elected officials. And there are so many ways that we can be dishonorable in our disagreements with those who are elected officials, and I pray that we really take that to heart, because we are in a season of political and government discourse in our nation, where Christians are falling prey to the trap of using language that is just, it dishonors Jesus. There are ways that we can be in disagreement with those who we disagree with, yet still give them honor. And that is to say that we give people honor because they have value, because they're God's creation. And we've been created to take care of God's creation. And so today, I want us to focus in on Simon's his pastoral instructions to the Jesus followers regarding their relationships with one another. So this morning, Simon says, be relational. Be relational. Over the course of this series, we have explored the original setting of this letter. We have considered the plight of these early disciples. Again, they were under intense pressure and persecution. They were being treated unfairly and unjustly. They were the victims of some of the most heinous treatment on the historical record of the world. I want us to always keep in mind that what these original hearers were going through as they received these instructions from Simon Peter were real situations that were hurtful. They were painful. They were destructive to their physical lives, even to their mental capacities. In addition to that, I want us this morning to be reminded of just who Simon Peter was. It's important to keep the original audience in our purview, our minds. It's also important that we remember just who Simon Peter was. I think it's significant to know who he was and his relationship to Jesus. According to some traditions, Simon Peter was the oldest apostle amongst the 12. Now, we don't have any biblical proof of that. It's just a traditional view. But if that's true, Simon Peter amongst the apostles would have been like the big brother, right? He was the oldest. And sometimes the oldest amongst a group just kind of gets that designation for being. I don't know, in your neighborhoods, you grew up with folks that, you were all young, but there was always like that older person that hung out with you, and they became sort of like that elder statesman or that older brother. I remember when I went back to college at Rochester College. I started college in 92, dropped out a few years, went back in 96, and I was in a dorm of a friend. I was a little bit older, so I kind of took that moniker. However, there was a guy who lived next to me. His name was Arnold Purnell, and Arnold was like in his 40s. So you had a group of 18 to 20 year olds, and then Arnold. So we affectionately named him OT, old timer, and that's who Arnold. But for many of us, he was just that older brother, that older presence. And so according to tradition, Simon may have been sort of that older brother presence in relationship with the other apostles. Now, again, that's just tradition. We don't know if that's true or not. But we do know some things from Scripture that are absolutely true about Simon Peter, the writer of this letter we call First Peter. Simon Peter was a fisherman called by Jesus to be one of Jesus's close companions, his close disciples. We call them the 12, the apostles. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 says, as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I think it's important for us to see that for Simon, following Jesus was an immediate response. He clung to Jesus as his rabbi or his teacher, his mentor, his master, and his Lord. It says something about Simon who was able to leave everything, to leave his job, his source of income, his livelihood, to follow this teacher that we know as Jesus. Simon had, according to that text, at least one sibling, Andrew, and we learn from another passage that Simon was married. He says that in Matthew 8:14 that Jesus came to Peter and Andrew's home, and there was Peter's mother-in-law. So we know he had at least one sibling who lived with him, and then there was his mother-in-law, which means he had a wife. life. And so Simon knew something about family. He knew something about being in relationship with family, about being a brother to a sibling. He knew something about what it means to really invest time in family, including his mother-in-law. Simon already could be considered a close confidant of Jesus, being a part of the 12. But we learn in the Gospels that Peter was part of a smaller inner circle. Peter, along with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were afforded the privilege of experiencing things the other nine apostles didn't get to experience. In the Gospels, you will often read, "And Jesus took no one with him except Simon Peter," James, that's one person, "James and John." And they experienced together, just those three, watching Jesus raise a dead girl to life. They experienced Jesus being transfigured and seeing Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus. They experienced being with Jesus as he prayed in agony just prior to his crucifixion. These three, the triad, was Jesus's inner circle that knew him even more intimately than the other nine apostles. So in his life and travels with Jesus, Simon lived in close relationship with others, in close relationship with Jesus. He would have learned and absorbed from Jesus the importance of community and relationship. Simon would have had a front row seat at the feet of Jesus as Jesus spoke some of the most important words on record. I mean, Simon Peter was right there when Jesus preached the famed Sermon on the Mount. And if you read that text in the beginning of the text, you see that Jesus was speaking to his disciples. We often think of the Sermon on the Mount as a message that was spoken to some big crowd of non-followers. But the text says Jesus took his disciples and said to his disciples. So these were those who were following him. And I guarantee that Simon Peter had a front row seat when he heard Jesus say things like this: "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment, and if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council." And things like this: "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." I want you to see that the person who wrote the letter to 1 Peter was a person who was in the front row listening to Jesus say these very words. Peter was listening intently as Jesus said, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." When someone asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Simon was right there when Jesus said, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this: 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Love God and love others. Peter had just had a last Passover meal with Jesus. It's where the Lord's Supper was instituted. This was the time that this would be the last really close interaction that Jesus would have with his apostles. And Jesus chose that moment to be a moment where he taught about love and taught about service. And Jesus walked away from the table and he prepared himself with a bowl of water and a towel, and he washed all of his disciples' feet. And after he washed their feet and Peter had this intimate moment with Jesus, Peter saw Jesus, looked him in the eye as Jesus said these words: "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Peter was the apostle who vehemently denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. But later on, after Jesus rose from the grave, Simon shared a moment with Jesus in one of the most intimate scenes in all of the Gospels. It's from John chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, "Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So Simon would have a decent understanding about relationship and the ups and downs and ins and outs that goes with relationship, like mistreating those you love and then being forgiven by your loved ones. So now that we have familiarized ourselves or reacquainted ourselves with Simon Peter, I want to read a portion of this letter that has everything to do with our relationships with one another. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read it from the Message translation. You can read along if you wish in your own translation. It's probably going to be a little different, so I invite you to just listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. "Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your suffering as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. You've already put in your time in the God-ignorant way of life, partying night after night, a drunken and profligate life. Now it's time to be done with it for good. Of course, your old friends don't understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore, but you don't have to give an account to them. They're the ones who will be called on the carpet and before God himself. Listen to the message. It was preached to those believers who are now dead, and yet even though they died, just as all people must, they will still get in on the life that God has given in Jesus. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other. Love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. Encores to the end of time. Oh, yes. During this difficult time of persecution and harassment, Simon encouraged this community of church followers to lean on their relationships with one another within the Christ community. This was no time for them to focus on their petty differences. This was no time for them to hold on to grudges that were years old. This was no time for them to jockey for position or fight for church roles. This was not time to argue about the color of the carpet or the frequency of potlucks. This was no time for them to fight about the interpretation of difficult Old Testament texts, and there were plenty of them. No time for that during persecution. It was a time for them, and Simon Peter says emphatically, most of all, above all, most importantly, one translation, he says, love each other as if your life depended on it. Another translation says, love each other deeply. Another translation says, have fervent love for one another. Another translation says, keep loving each other actively. Another translation, continue to show deep love for each other. Most of all, love each other. And Simon Peter doesn't encourage the church to love as a matter of an additional instruction. Above all, he says, love each other deeply. Love each other as if your life depended on it. Well, I do weddings. I'm doing a wedding this weekend, and I can tell you that I say a lot of different things to different couples. They have different experiences, but there's one thing that I always say in every wedding that I perform, and that is that you love as if your life depended on it. I always quote 1 Peter 4:8, because if marriages are going to stay together, they need to love as if their lives depended on it. If we're going to stay together as a body of Christ, we need to love as if our life depended on it. Above everything else, love God and love others. Love each other deeply. Not as a matter of fact, but as a first importance. Love each other. Love as I have loved you. It sounds like Simon is repeating some things he heard from Jesus, right? Love as I have loved you. They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. This is the greatest command, to love God and to love each other. Loving each other has to be the greatest ethic embodied by Jesus' followers. Loving each other can't be an add-on to our faith. It needs to be the fuel to our relationships in the kingdom of God. Because love, the text says, makes up for practically anything, or in some of your translations, love covers a multitude of sins. You see, love forgives. Love looks for the best in folks. Love lets go of the stuff that took place in the past. Love is welcoming and hospitable. Love serves. In the past 17 years that I've been a part of this church, I have seen so many demonstrations of love and hospitality and service that if I started to make a list and tell the stories, we would be here to 2021. I'm surrounded by love. Now, this is not to say that we don't have challenges to demonstrating love and that we are absent or protected from conflict. We've had our share of conflict. We've had our share of struggles. But there's so much love. There's so much service. There's so much hospitality taking place in this body. Churches all over this country are dying and waning out. And I can tell you that when people begin to look at some of the symptoms of why churches are dying, it's because they're not loving each other. Simon says, be relational. That is to love like your life depends upon it. And it does. It certainly did for them. If those Jesus followers were going to endure the persecution, they had to display genuine love for one another as a way to help one another bear that suffering. One of my mentors, Ken Green, I remember sitting in a living room. We were at a lectureship, and Dr. Green had spoke that night, and we were in the living room, and it was just really cool setting. Here's my mentor sitting down, and we're like on the floor, and we're just asking him all of these questions, and he's answering these questions, and we got on the topic of just church disunity and why the church is just so divided across the world, and why is it divided racially, and why is it divided, you know, culturally, and we were just asking all of these questions, and he began to just, you know, talk and speak prophetically, I might add, about what we needed to do as the body of Christ to come together. And I'll never forget one of the things that he said. He says, you know, the church can either make a decision right now to love each other and begin to unify and become the one church that Jesus prayed about. He says, or persecution will happen. And if anything can make a church one, it's persecution. He says, so why wait for persecution to come to unify? Why not make a decision to love each other as if your life depended on it and be one? I guarantee that one of the things that got these early Christians, these early Jesus followers through the great persecution that they were going through was their demonstration of love for one another. And so their love was to be demonstrated and displayed through hospitality. Simon says, he says, be hospitable and don't complain about it. Hospitality isn't just about inviting people into your house and your home. That's part of it. But part of it, and maybe a bigger part of it, is welcoming people into your heart. Letting people into your life. Being willing to host people into your life with all of their imperfections. They have imperfections, but as we all know, when we look at our own houses and we look at our own hearts, we all have imperfections, don't we? We have an imperfect house. You ever go into a house, someone who's like their house is just like meticulous, and it is just like everything is, I mean, there's not one thing that's out of place, and you go in their house and they invite you in, and you sit down and they say, I want to apologize. My house is a mess right now. And you're like, are you kidding me? Because that's just how we are, right? Like even the best houses, we can find the we have imperfections. Nothing is always perfect. Shouldn't be too hard for us to accept people with imperfections, because we are imperfect. But we have to be a people that will open our hearts up to other people, especially when it comes to the community of Christ, when it comes to the church. And Simon says, welcome people, be hospitable, and don't complain. We can show our love, demonstrate our love through service. With the things that God has blessed us with, blessed others. You've heard me talk about being a good steward. Being a good steward, that is that God has given us charge over things that really belong to him. But with those things, you do good things. So when God blesses us, we bless others. Remember that sermon series I preached, I think it was last year. You know, when you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence. Because God has blessed us so abundantly, we ought to bless others. You have an index card. I want to invite you to do something. Because let's be honest. Our lives are full of relationships and relationship dynamics and things that have taken place over time that impact us. And some of us try to pretend like some spats or some disputes that we've had with others in the past don't impact us right now. But they really do. So what I want us to do, you don't have to share this with anyone. You get something to write with, and you can keep this to yourself. You don't have to share this with anybody. I want you to write down the name of a person or persons that you're having a problem forgiving, or you're having a problem showing love, or a person that you're having a problem opening your life up to them. They hurt you, they said something about you, they did something that just caused you to say, you know what, I'm closed. I can't do it. And I'm particularly primarily talking about someone who is also a Christian, someone who is a Jesus follower, someone might be a member of someone in this body here, maybe someone from long ago, but you know who that person is. Soon as I started talking about it, that name popped right in your head. So what I want you to do, I want you to write that name down. Take a moment and just write that name down. Don't show anybody. I don't want you to compare notes. I want you to keep this between you and God right now. Just go ahead and write that name down. It may be more than one person. If it's more than one person, go ahead and write all those names down. I want you to really think about that. And you can go ahead and fold it up. And this is what I want you to do with this index card. Please don't leave it behind. That way I'll find it and I'll go ahead and be nosy and read the names on it. Don't do that. I want you to keep this card with you all week. Put it here. Here's my wallet. It's next to the $1 bill in my wallet. That's all the money I got. Oh, it's my wallet's breaking. I can put money in from both sides, but I'm going to keep it right here in my wallet. I'm going to keep this with me. I'm going to keep this name with me. Because what I'm going to do all week, when I open my wallet and I see that index card, I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to pray for me, that I will open my heart back up to that person. Because for a long time, I've closed my heart to that person. And oftentimes when I see that, can I just be confessional here? Oftentimes when I see this brother or sister, when I see them coming my way, I walk the other way. Because they hurt me. And they said some terrible things about me. And I want to do something painful back to them. So instead of even being tempted to do that, I just walked the other way. I saw that person in the grocery store not too long ago. And I had a cart full of things. This is such a bad reflection of who I am, y'all. Y'all got to forgive me. I had a cart full of things, and I left my cart and I left the store so that I would not run into that person. It's not right. Because above all, I need to love my brother or sister deeply. So I want you to carry that name around with you, and I want you to pray for that person. And I want you to pray for yourself that you will open your heart up to love that person deeply, to be hospitable. And in their need, serve them. And to do it without complaining. But to do it because, not just because Simon says be relational, because Jesus says be relational. Because what Simon was saying is what Jesus was saying. And above all, love like your life depends upon it. Because love makes up for practically anything. Simon says, be relational. I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to pause just a minute. I want you to offer a prayer to God right now for that person you wrote down, for yourself, and for the kingdom of God, that we might dare take Jesus at his word when he says, love as I have loved you. And that people will know that we are his followers. Not by how good we sing, not by how good we preach, how good we interpret the Bible. He says, people will know you are my followers by your love for one another. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for your love for us. You so loved us that you sent us your son to die for us. You did what was in our best interest. And God, through your loving act, you created a community of the beloved, a community of love. And so God, as your followers, I pray that we will love as you have loved. And God, I pray for the body of Christ that has done so many wonderful and great things, that continues to do so many wonderful and great things. And at the same time, in many ways, we struggle with being active in our love for one another. So God, I pray that our love doesn't remain a passive reality, but that it becomes an active engagement. That we would be hospitable to one another, opening our homes and our hearts up to one another. That we would forgive, that we would serve. God, we thank you for the body and blood of Christ that was broken and shed for us so that we might be one. Help us to maintain unity through our love for one another. And God, for the names that are on our index cards. God, I pray that we would be active in being hospitable to them, in forgiving them, and in serving them. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let the whole church say, amen. It's our time of invitation. As we sing this song, if there's a way that we can be in prayer for you, in community with you, if there's a way that we can show you love, if there's a way that we can be hospitable to you, open our lives up to you, or show you, demonstrate to you that you have been forgiven by God, that you've been forgiven by others, or if there's a way that we can serve you, we want to give you that opportunity. This is a moment where you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You want to say, yes, I believe in God's love for me. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he is the King. I believe he is Lord. I believe that I can have life with him. If you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to confess Jesus as Lord, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you can do that. We do that right now. We're going to sing a song, We Shall Assemble on the Mountain, because there will be a day that we won't have to worry about persecution or suffering or being mistreated or being looked at bad. This is going to come a day where we're going to be surrounded with other people from generations past and perhaps generations future, gathered together with angels. And we're going to surround God's holy mountain, and we're going to sing praises to God. So the song that we sing right now is simply a glimpse of what life will be. But I also say it could be a glimpse of what it can be right now if we choose to love the way that God has loved us. So as we're singing, there's a way that we can serve you today. Please come as we sing.